eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. And with over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED lights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Past Times Podcast. Each week we go through an old newspaper from a random date in history picked out by Dave Anthony. I'm Gareth Reynolds, and I've never seen it before, and neither is our guest this week.
Mark Maron. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, well, yeah, you booked a big one. You booked a big one.
I enjoy your work.
Thank you, Dave.
I've heard of you a little bit.
Yeah, the thing I like about Dave is the fluctuation in personas from Twitter Dave to text Dave to me hiking with Dave. It's a full spectrum.
Which one's your favorite, Mark? I know it's not Twitter Dave.
The one I hike with is human.
Yeah, he can't send you links, which is nice.
The other ones, I'm not sure where the fuck they come from. But
I should totally send Mark links while we hike too.
That's probably why he gets you up into the mountains. He's like, no reception. Finally, yeah, exactly. He can't be bleak.
The human that I used to know from back in the day.
This is a good reunion. Mark, you were mentioning you had a podcast before this. I don't think.
Yeah,
I've got a
podcast I call WTF, which I know isn't original, but we're just trying to get it out there like everybody else.
Like I said, we can talk advice after the show.
I wish you would, because I'm really
happy. I'll help you out a little bit.
Well, we got to wait for it to upload. There's like a minute where it has to upload, so we'll do that then.
You also
have a special on HBO Max called From Bleak to Dark, which is a great title and a great special. But the title
is really very
appropriate, and everyone should go watch it. I'm sure a lot of people are watching it, but it is like... It is a rarefied space, and it is a great watch. So I feel like
I finally landed one, after 30, 40 years in this business. And I think it has a lot to do with being on HBO. I think it still means something to people in their brain. Like Netflix means nothing. But, for guys our age and older, HBO is like, oh, it's HBO. Even if it's not, oh, it's HBO. In our heads, it still means something. And, it's right up front. And it's gotten... great feedback from my peers, which is very important. I got an email from Richard Lewis, which was...
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's one of the building blocks of me. So, we contact each other. We talk to each other occasionally. But it's very funny how he said, like, your special's close to perfection. But, progress, not perfection, right? And then he goes on to tell me that he was watching it, his wife enjoyed it. And for most of it, he was basically thinking about himself. But I did break through. To summarize what Richard Lewis said, it's like, I actually was able to watch you for a while and appreciate this.
Well,
take a comic out of his head for 10 minutes to think you've won.
It's a success.
Yeah, neuroses is the old phone. So that's what he just is checking in with himself. But it truly is like, it's so good. It's so smooth. It's like, we were just saying this before we started. There are like moments where you're like, how am I hearing this? And I'm not like curious how we got here. Like there just are a few of those moments where I'm like, I'm naturally listening to this, but if I were to do the 30,000 foot overview, I'm like, how the fuck is this?
I worked it for, a couple, almost 2 years. So, I mean, it was, I was pretty comfortable with it. So I think that has something to do with it.
It's also nice. I'm just tired of hearing comics talk about nothing,
Oh my God!
Here we go. So what, Dave? I put out a special, Dave. Fuck off! Come on, I told you it worked for Seinfeld. I'm doing. That's where I am. Vacuous nothingness. Well, no, and also the stuff about your dad too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I called him the other day. I called my dad, and he goes, "Hey, how you doing? Where are you, Massachusetts?" And I'm like, nope.
"Massachusetts?
Nope." Want to do another guess?
Oh, God, that's so good.
All right, Mark. So the ruse of this is Dave Anthony, you know, historian, lunatic, link sender, he has picked out a paper from a random date. And I normally, like, it's anywhere from basically 1600, which those ones are very, very weird. Or it could be more recent. I always like to start with a guess, and you're more than welcome to. I'm going to guess for you, I think he wants to wow you.
Oh.
Because I think despite the air he carries about him, I think he looks up to you. And I think we're going to go.
Don't get him started, man. I was kind of open. Don't make me close up.
I don't. One time I broke up with a girlfriend, and Mark took me over to his house and played AC/DC Highway to Hell. I'm like, what?
That helped.
Listen to him.
Did that help?
He's gushing.
I don't know.
I was trying to help.
It's a great answer. Did it help is a good next special title. I'm going to guess 1845. You're more than welcome to have a stab.
I'm going with 1972.
Ooh, I like that too.
All right. It's 1877.
Wow. So, okay. What he likes. He loves that 1800 shit.
Yeah, he does. He liked when you had to crap outside and whiskey was hydrating.
Personal stories were about people losing hands and machines.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's trading a wheel for a boy.
And medicine was like, should we take out his eye? He has a stomach ache.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So this is the San Marcos Free Press. San Marcos, Texas.
That's not good.
No, it's never good.
These headlines are probably a lot like the ones now.
You'll find some of that.
A lot of these don't have headlines. They just throw together little stories, and there's no title or anything.
Oh, it was such a small community. They need headlines. There was nothing else to read.
It's a diary.
And then they throw in little facts. Here's a little blurb on the bottom of page one. Sweden and Switzerland contribute the largest number of new members to the Mormon Church. England is third on the list.
Wow.
So it's kind of like pop-up video a little bit. That is weird. Sounds, it's also weird that...
Mormon Church had some sort of PR outreach. Why were they on the pulse of what was happening with the Mormon Church in 1850? It must have been sort of this radical new thing. Because it doesn't sound negative. Yeah, it just sounds like, here are the stats for the Mormons.
It doesn't sound negative.
And they're certainly going to the bullpen of full whites. They're like, Sweden, Switzerland, that's what we're after.
They're full whiting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, was it most of it full white then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't think.
It wasn't integrated.
You can't have brown eyes.
And whatever Mexicans were coming up to Mexico.
Unlike the Mormon Church now.
Yeah, the Mormon Church is not very open. Yeah.
They pretend to be open. I love that. Yeah.
Here's one, blunt but true. There is said to be a young man in the Missouri penitentiary whose parents, at their death, left him a fortune of $50,000.
Hmm.
Did they give an address?
There is where...
it's one of those big charity checks. Come find it.
There is where his parents made a mistake. If they had taken the precaution to invest that sum in a small dog and shot him and...
Sorry, wait, yeah. Dave, you can't even hold it together. What's the advice here? I always invest a little and kill a dog, and that's the nest egg.
If they had taken the precaution to invest that sum in a small dog and shot him and then had simply left the young man... Jack Please or Woodsaw, what the fuck is that? Jack Plain or Woodsaw.
Yeah. Oh,
with
he may have done something with
instruction,
himself.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying it would have been better to... They could have just given the money to a dog and killed it. It's the same thing as giving the money to a guy who's already in prison, I think.
No, no. I think the idea was that if he didn't have the money, he wouldn't have fucked up his life and ended up in prison, and he would have, you know, learned a trade. And God knows that's true. I know plenty of people that whose parents, they should have just, you know, bought a dog and killed it and, you know, not let the kid do it. You know, there's many comics we know that come from money, and we would have been better off if their parents had just killed the dog. So that's a great explanation of what's wrong with what's wrong with trust fund kids. That's pretty good advice. I don't know. It was a little.
I think, feel.
Yeah.
I think I
push
think
back
all...
a little on the dog killing.
Yeah, why are we killing the dog?
Yeah, the dog I feel like can live, and we can also learn some lessons about nepotism. But the dog can live. There's no need to bring the dog. Like, well, we should have just killed the dog instead. You're like, well, you could have just, you know, bought a plot of land and given it away.
I think that's a shot at the kid. You know what I mean? And a shot at the parents. You know what I mean? Like, there, you could do something as heinous as just shoot a dog for $50,000. Than whatever
for
you did to this
grand.
Kid. How did?
You're buying a show dog at that point.
Is that what they said? Buy a dog for $50,000 and shoot it? Or
I think so.
Yeah, it said if they had taken the precaution to invest that sum in a small dog and shot him.
So we're talking toy poodle. Like,
yeah, they're saying a very expensive dog. Yeah.
Blue ribbon.
Yeah.
Like the best
amazing.
Dog out there.
Like
and
a trick. Like the people are like, this dog, by the way, it does back. And they're going, oh, great. That's great. Yeah. Well, here you go. Here's $50,000.
Jesus. Even what would that
what
be
that?
In today's? Would that be in today's dollars? That'd be like a $1.5 million
dog.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a very expensive dog. That's a very expensive.
How much your
dog,
dogs 50, cost, 000. Dave?
About 50,000.
About 50,000.
Wow. He's just waiting to teach his son the lesson.
Well, I'm going to kill these dogs in front of my kid when he turns 18.
Yeah, he's waiting for the full attachment. And you love her more than anything?
Yeah. And then say, there's no money, kid. Kill the dogs in front of him and go, good luck.
So what do you want to do for a living? What about the dogs? What are you going to do for work, boy?
Yeah, it's a $1.4 million today.
Wow.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Pricey. Oh.
Yeah, it is. It's $1.4
million. That's a nice dog. I grew up with show dogs.
That is.
That's a good dog.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did?
Did you really?
I did, yeah. Old English sheepdogs.
What type?
Old English sheepdogs.
I had no idea.
My entire childhood was covered in hair and, you know, cleaning up shit. How? Yeah, my dad went through a
period. How has this never come up?
I don't know. He went through some...
A show dog period?
Yeah, my dad went through a show dog.
But your dad has gone through so many different periods of
stuff. Yeah, he's nuts.
I think you might have three dads.
Yeah, the show dog period was exciting. We had one champion... One that was supposed to be a champion, but had something wrong with its snout. And then another one.
Wow.
Cheerio Lord Raglan was the name of the show dog.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Of course.
I used to go to dog shows.
Come on.
Yeah.
Cheerio.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you at a dog show.
That's a $2 million dog.
Oh, my God. Remarkable stuff.
It wasn't. It was.
So, do you think you ever went to Greg Behrendt's dog show?
No. What was that?
His family owned the San Francisco dog show.
No, but we were small time. We were sort of like, we were on the independent circuit, you know? No, it was probably real dog shows. You're just trying to get this dog to get enough points to be a champion. And, you know, he did. He became a champion. The Cheerio Lord Raglan
is... What does that mean?
It's the name of the breeder. Well, it means you get these well-bred dogs, and then you trot them around in a ring with other dogs, and you win.
Oh, yeah, it's that stuff, right.
Yeah,
okay.
And you get a certain amount of points, and then you got a champion.
Westminster dog show stuff.
Yeah, but small... They happen everywhere. And then you have a champion, and you have the breed from the breeder, and then you can sort of go mate it with some other champion, which we did, and we got a fucked up dog. Someone lied about the genetics of the other dog, but
So your Cheerio dog just threw one in some so-so dog, and then you got the weird snouted dog.
Yeah, exactly. Some half breed that gave us Samantha or I think the
some
disco might have been.
Con dog.
Yeah, yeah. A grift breed.
Yeah.
So there's like there's like the Westminster dog show, but you guys were like in the Albuquerque Mall in front of Sears dog show.
Well, I don't know where they happened, but it was regional. You know, I don't know what the structure of dog shows are, but there were definitely dog show people. And at some point, I knew all the breeds, and you kind of wander around, and you can see all these weird dog show people. And there was my dad trotting around with the hairy thing.
The dog's named Cheerio. There's a lot to love. Mike.
Rags. Really, we called him Rags.
Rags.
I mean, this is all very yeah, unexpected.
Now, Dave, the question is, can your paper beat this?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Here's a story out of Panama. A Panama dispatch gives particulars of an attempt recently made to assassinate President Barrios of Guatemala by Felix Pajes, a fanatical priest. The president was dining. The priest entered, drew a revolver, and fired. The first shot missed. The president then closed with him, and during the struggle, a servant entered and shot the would-be assassin dead.
Wow, this just happened in L.A. with the archbishop.
Is that what? Did that really happen? Did someone try to? Oh, someone killed him, right?
Yeah, someone killed a high.
Did he pull first though? That's
Was it in the street?
If the priest or the
bishop
is pulling the gun first, yeah. That I'm like, I'd be like, I'll see you in church on Sunday. I like this guy's style.
That's so weird that that's the only story. You know, that is like clickbait because that's the end of the story. We don't know the details of the politics or anything.
Nope. Just that the priest was fanatical. They're like, this guy obviously.
Oh, he's so right. Lunatic.
Wow.
A bit of a loose cannon.
It was always clickbait, but there was just no story to follow up on.
Yeah.
Not just there's just the sort of like,
you know, it's like those ones where you'll click on it and then it'll be like, you got to keep clicking on like a slide to go to the next one to get, and then you just abandon it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like that without, the dead ending.
You go back to the dog shooting story.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Senator Morton died on the first at his home in Indianapolis. He was the governor of Indiana in 1860 and then reelected in 1864. In 1867, was elected to the U.S. Senate and reelected in 1873. His last words were, "I am dying. I am worn out."
Oh, my God. Those are going to be your last words, Dave. Close to it.
Well, my last words are going to be like, just please, oh, God, please let it come. Come now. I'm so tired.
Your last words are going to be, I am dying. I've worn you all out. That's what they're saying.
He's going to bring his wife in closely and whisper, I just sent you a link. God damn it, Dave.
Yeah.
I am dying. I am worn out. I like that.
Yeah, when you're tired, I think. Although Belzer's, apparently Belzer's last words.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Amazing.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Oh, so good.
Is that right?
Yes. That's what it's supposed to say.
I like the idea of it.
You do? That's great. It's a little, it's pretty on the nose, but it's pretty great.
If you're able to muster last words, it really is you really could think about that a little and have an amazing moment.
I think I did a joke where
I am dying, I really like a lot.
Yeah. I did a joke where I said, I want my last words to be, wait, what?
Don't have the salmon.
Where's my wallet?
Mystery.
I know where my retainer is.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com. Mystery of a Corpse.
Mm. Okay.
On the third day, this is from out of the Cincinnati Gazette. On the third day of our county fair, the dead body of a young man, a stranger, was found in the road near Hillsboro. All right.
That's it.
Sure.
An inquest was held. No, there's more. An inquest was held, but there being nothing about his person by which he could be identified, he was buried by the authorities and a pistol razor for Franklin County Democratic tickets, a prescription signed by an Illinois physician, and a pocketbook containing $380 in money, which was deposited by a judge. But then you could identify him if he has a prescription.
Not back then, I think.
You know, you think it's just, it says,
oh,
you,
yeah,
can get you can get heroin. That's like all it says.
No, I don't think he went to the pharmacist. My doctor said that, you know, I think he just walked in without a finger. And they're like, oh, Jesus, you need morphine?
Here you go. Take some of this.
Yeah.
Now, what's like, your name and your insurance number, sir? We just got to get this right.
I got to take care of this. So a day or two afterward, a gentleman from near Williamsburg, seeing the account of the suicide in the papers, became convinced that it was his brother-in-law, Moses Henderson, who had disappeared under mysterious circumstances.
This is the same guy?
So, no, same story? Same story. Dead guy dies, no one knows who he is, and then some guy reads about it and goes, that's my brother-in-law. So the body the body was disinterred, so they dig it up.
Right.
And
the guy said, no, that's not him.
Well, we actually found mine. Actually, I know where he is.
He's not. Can we dig up another one of these? Can we dig up a couple more?
That guy does that in every town.
Bring him up.
Nope.
Nope.
He was pronounced by the gentleman to be his relative. It was then taken up and reinterred in Laurel Graveyard in Claremont County as the remains of the missing man. Moses Henderson, however, was not to be disposed in that way, for to the other consternation of his relatives and friends, he appeared a few days later among them in the flesh.
Wait, so he goes there, he's like, that's my brother. Then they bury him, and then the brother's like, man, did I have a weekend. Oh, shit. Moses!
Yeah, I just dug myself out of a hole. Woo,
buddy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I'm married with a child now. What have you been up to? It's like, well, we buried you.
But what do you think the rest of the family is like?
They're not off in the same town. This is just a list of
no. Sometimes the paper will take an interesting thing from another paper.
Oh, okay.
That happens a lot.
But with no organization in any way, they're not like international news. They're just
just
Mormons are getting Swedes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love the guy. This guy was like, yeah, that's my brother-in-law, and then he walks in, and everyone's like, couldn't you fucking tell it was him when you dug him up? Like, the whole family's like, you fucking idiot.
I don't know. There was something wrong with the face.
I thought it was him.
There was something wrong with the face.
Nobody told me they get all mushy 5 days later. His head was very mushy.
So the question of whose corpse it was they had given became more serious became more serious than pleasant.
Yes.
So, The
journey of the corpse in and of itself is the story. You know, dies, they bury it, gets identified.
Tour.
It's not the guy. They got to take him out of that graveyard. What happened to that guy? They put him back on the street where they found him.
Let's just see
away.
How this plays out.
I don't know. Let's just leave it here.
Something's got to happen.
It is thought now, however, that the mystery has been solved. On last Sabbath, Mr. Moorhead of Shadeville arrived here having also read reports.
I wouldn't trust anyone from Shadeville. Yes, that's mine.
Had read reports of the case in the Gazette. His half-brother, Thomas Ramsey, left home on Wednesday before the body was found, and his actions at the time gave rise to some uneasiness in his friends. Mr. Moorhead gave a correct description of the articles found on the body before they were shown to him, and identified the revolver and razor at once as his brother's property. Started immediately to where the body was buried, intending again to have it disinterred.
Oh my God.
Now he's going to dig it up. This guy's going to go dig it up.
A third time.
Yeah. I mean, if there is an afterlife, like, he's just getting yanked out of heaven over and over again because they're like, sorry, someone else thinks they know who you are.
Yeah. Someone else thinks they know you.
And also, how much stuff could one person have? I bet you back then you were just like, he had pills, a pen, a razor, a mirror, and a notebook. And they're like, well, it's got to be this guy. I mean, he's nailed it to a T. There were like eight objects you could have at that time.
Yeah, yeah. No one carries a notebook. That's got to be.
A notebook? Here's your brother, sir.
He was a comic.
He had a bunch of premises that went nowhere, no endings. That's the guy.
Hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, I know him.
We send this issue of the Free Press to a number of persons who are not subscribers, hoping that, upon examination, they will like it so well as to favor us with their subscriptions, but they need have no fear that it will be continued unless ordered and paid for. We
try I don't to force understand what's happening.
We never try to force our paper on it. They're giving papers to people hoping they'll subscribe, but then saying they don't force their paper on anybody.
Right, okay.
So that, well, that's, I mean, just their, that's an advertisement for the paper you just
I read? Think they're explaining, yeah. I think when people get the paper, they're explaining, like, you don't have to pay for it. We're not going to ask you for money.
Yeah.
We're doing
it's a bad
this hoping
business
you'll,
model.
Because people are probably getting mad, like, I'm not paying for this.
Yeah. Three stories. One about a guy who gets buried three times.
it's shit paper.
Yeah.
Grant has been cordially welcomed, I assume President Grant. Grant has been cordially welcomed by McMahon, the miserable abortion who...
Jesus, wow, hello. What? Not to do inside baseball, but Angel Factory, right?
Isn't that
This is when... So a lot of these papers are just straight up like one party, like Whig or Democrat or Republican. And so they just... Like, you reading it, you're like, well, yeah, I'm on the team. So it's like Fox News. So they're going to call whoever just a piece of shit. Yeah.
It's also crazy. I always find that strange of, like, when back then, it is surprising to me they called it abortion. I would feel like there would be a weirder name for it back then.
Well, what do you mean? Like, is there a general definition for abortion that has nothing to do with fetuses? I'd imagine so.
Yeah, right.
It's when you abort something.
But I think if you're calling a person a miserable abortion, then you're...
I think you're right, Dave, for sure. Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm curious now about the definition of abortion.
Yeah, sure. Grant has been cordially welcomed by McMahon, the miserable abortion who accidentally presides over the French Republic.
Oh, wow.
This is eminently fitting. Perhaps two more congenial spirits have... never met than those two wooden-headed, callous-hearted, natural despots. Okay, wow. So he does not like Grant either. Neither has an idea.
Yeah, the writer.
Yeah. Neither has an idea of government beyond brute force and personal self-interest. Each is totally unfit to administer civil government in a free country. The appropriate sphere of each is in some contest of brute force like that which is going on between Russia and Turkey. So this is like if I was tweeting in 1877.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abortion early. Hook them with the abortion early and then start getting into your European politics.
And then get way into the weeds so the only three people are like, yeah, Dave. And everyone else is like, what the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah. Well, then people who are like reading the paper are like, how did I get blocked from reading this paper? Yeah. How did he block me?
And by the way, the abortion definition is number one definition, a deliberate termination of a human pregnancy.
Okay,
oh,
there
shit.
You go.
Okay,
so,
well, there you go. It's pretty.
There you go. It felt pretty, like it was that, direct. But it's good to know.
Yeah. Okay. If the poor fellows who are so persistently practicing roller skating...
Here we go.
Had ever enjoyed or seen the real thing, they surely would not engage in so awful a burlesque upon it.
Wow. So this is anti...
No, there's someone upset that roller skating is being destroyed and bastardized by kids who just buy skates.
If you'd seen a professional, you wouldn't even bother. You don't even know where the break is. It's up front, you dummies.
Wow. It's amazing that anyone took roller skating seriously.
That is an oxymoronic, like, you need to be more serious. Look at you smiling. Are you having fun? Well, you shouldn't be.
Those are serious skates.
You have any idea? You're carrying Lady Liberty on your back, you fools.
Yeah.
By the way, why don't the marshal arrest these offenders and take them before the mayor?
This is an old person. This is, come on now. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants the roller skaters arrested. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Could you imagine that being a threat? Roller skaters?
Oh, my God.
What a time. What a time. When this was in the paper, like, look, I'll tell you what I'm worried about, all these roller skaters.
They clearly violate the ordinances, which forbid the making of unusual and disagreeable noises to the disturbances of the community.
Wow.
I bet they were loud, right? Because they're probably metal. I bet they're super loud.
How loud could fucking roller skates be?
But, they can't be.
I mean...
You know what? It must have been on slatted walks or something. Because I can't. The roads weren't paved, right? So it's got.
No, it was all boards.
Right.
Yeah, it was boards. Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah, that's right. They're on the boards.
Yeah.
But what a nightmare to be roller skating in that.
Sure.
Like just janky streets.
But they should be rewarded for their bravery as opposed to criticized for.
I agree.
Noise.
It feel this is kind of like the beginning of Footloose, but if it were roller skating. It's a little like, you kids, you having fun out there? Yeah? How are your devil wheels?
Man, say that louder. We'll have a movie in 2 years. Someone will make that.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting one. Here's a fact one about how the Russian peasant lives.
Oh.
This is gonna be good.
This is gonna be my family.
The house of
origins.
Oh, were you? Yeah, you're the Russian, yeah.
Russian
the
Jews,
Russian
yeah.
Jews who escaped from the pogroms. Was that you?
Well, they were in the Pale of Settlement, so I think they were safe from the pogroms for a while, but not the ones in Ukraine. Yeah. I'm not sure how it worked, but I just know that I come from an Ashkenazi tailor in Belarus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Way back. Around this time that we're talking about.
Oh, boy. This might get a little.
Well, these are your people that we're about to read about.
I'm excited to hear. It'd be just like finding your roots, which I did. A little more detail.
Mm-hmm.
The houses of Russian peasantry are built of logs and are thoroughly filthy. Yeah.
Oh, boy. There we go.
Jews started in general, early. I think, is what we're talking about.
Well, Dave can't say it, but thank you, Mark. What if we found out Dave wasn't even reading for this one? This one's handwritten.
So that no civilized person would eat or sleep in them if he wished.
Jeez.
A fresh egg was the only thing that seemed uncontaminated.
Oh, my
wow,
God.
These people were just shitting all over everything? What was happening?
Yeah, pretty much.
Their little log cabins filled with shit, and there's just one egg on a pillow. Leave be. Be careful. He's chosen one.
The peasant dwells with his horses and cattle under the same roof.
I like that personally, but okay.
Yeah. Sure. He above and they below, so that the odor of the stable and every other imaginable vile smell permeates the whole interior.
Oh, right. Sure.
It's not a great picture so far.
No, it's a hard situation. But being an owner of three cats, I understand. You know, the smell gets bad.
I was just going to say that I have a cat, and I remember when my landlord came in once and he was like, yeah, we'll have to because I was moving out, and he's like, we'll have to obviously get the smell of cat and litter out of here. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
It's like cigarettes where you're just like, I smell.
Yeah. People walk into your house and you're like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, what?
And you're like, talking about? Huh? Oh, I made some coffee. Is that what you're smelling? They're like, no, it's like sandy urine that's stale. You're like,
did a cat shit on this house?
Do you think it's this active restroom I have in my living space? This unemptied latrine?
No one accustomed to that way of living cannot stay within doors, much less eat their food. Their household furniture is of the most primitive kind, so also their farming implements. Indeed, everything makes you feel that you are carried back to the Dark Ages. The people live in villages.
1870 being like, boy, look who's living in the Dark Ages. Guys.
This was a progressive newspaper.
I think this is about as progressive as you get. People reading this are like, why are you being so easy on him?
Look at this slanted review.
The people live in villages all together, each family having land apportioned to them according to their numbers by the village commune or assembly, which also decides as to the rotation of crops and the times of gathering them. So they're, the authorities are telling them how to live.
Right.
So they, not only do they live in squalor, but they have no freedom.
No freedom, and they have to farm the land for other people. That's a common story.
What a horrible thing. Yeah. Some of the country through which we passed seems quite fertile, but the greater part has a barren appearance. Often whole sections would be continued wilderness with a sandy or corduroy road, forest of pine
road,
and birch stretching on either hand.
Who the fuck is, how is someone from Texas judging barrenness?
Yeah. Seriously.
I mean, man.
You're not doing through? Much with it, are you? It's like, have you been to the state? What are your plans?
Texas is still like that. Have you driven to Texas lately? Where it's just sort of strange, dead towns?
Yeah, you'll be like, okay, and then we're making pretty good time. And then you hit Texas, you're like, we're never getting home.
We're not making good time.
It's not possible. You're
never going to get out of Texas.
Yeah, it's the only place where there's still like dead zones, and people are like, you should have gassed up a while ago. Like,
I'm
pretty used to those being available.
There's dead zones on airplanes. When you fly in an airplane and you use the Wi-Fi, you fly over Texas and it craps out for like a half hour.
That's amazing.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's amazing. This is just a little blurb. When a girl begins to take an interest in the arrangement of a young man's necktie, it is an infallible sign of something more serious than sisterly regard.
Wow.
Is that about someone fucking their brother?
No. It isn't.
No.
Okay. It just means they're no longer being like, they're not caring. They're not like, they're doing it because they're looking to fuck.
Right. It's
yeah, they're looking
casual.
To fuck. It means that. No, right. they're saying they're not acting like your sister anymore. They're
it's
looking
a signal.
For some
I see. They're like, Jesus Christ, get it together, you fucking slob.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, now, let's get you out of this thing.
Oh, there's the other way to go, yeah.
Yeah.
It has been proposed by Representative Hewitt in an amendment to the appropriation bill that the Commissioner General to the Paris Exposition be directed to put an American kitchen at which the various methods of cooking Indian corn shall be exhibited and the products thereof distributed with recipes in different languages.
For corn?
So we're going to show people in France how to cook corn, but we're going to do it in an American kitchen.
Yeah.
So and the corn is American, Indian corn.
Yeah, because France isn't known for their cuisine. We want to show them what to do with a cast iron skillet and a fucking corn cob.
We have an amazing menu planned for you. Move over, dumb shit. Now you put the corn in here, get it buttery, and you put a fork in the end and rotate. Like, but we had the many geese killed for the event. No.
You guys don't get it. You don't get it.
You guys are dumb. Listen, let me show you how it's done. This here is called gravy.
Oh, this is just a blurb. An exchange says that disordered liver troubles some newspaper men in Texas very much. So this is a guy. He's just saying people in other editors in other parts of Texas drink too much.
Right.
Oh.
That's what he's saying. He's calling.
He's throwing
calling
liver shade.
Yeah, he's throwing liver shade. Right.
Liver shade.
He's calling other. He's calling other editors drunks.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that'd be funny thing for an alcoholic to be say he was triggered by liver shaming.
Yeah. It. My people have been. Oh no, I guess you'd be like, my people have been through too much as it is. Yeah. How did the statement go?
Yeah. I gotta take this shit from my whole family. And you guys are going to start.
We are people too.
Architecture of birds.
Whoa, what?
Dr. Thomas Brewer will contribute 4 exquisitely illustrated articles on birds' nests, which every lover of nature will delight in. Dr. Brewer probably has the finest collection of birds' eggs in the world to draw upon for the illustration.
That sounds interesting. I have two birds' nests I pulled down from my roof, and they are kind of amazing that they pull it off. You ever seen a hummingbird's
nest? Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
I have not. Is it like?
Well, they're just so tiny, but you just don't assume that these birds are doing the work, and they build it in a circle, and some of the, they really hold together well. Like, I had to spray these things down with a hose. They weren't in use, but they're locked in up there. It's fucking nuts.
Right.
Birds are dinosaurs.
We just see the nectar party. We don't know that behind the scenes, they're like, here we go. Perfect.
Yeah, cute little tight nest that a hummingbird will make.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then just some asshole hosing it down. Some guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Some poor bird took fucking weeks to put that down. Yeah. It's amazing the quality of these things.
I did not do that to the hummingbird's nest. And the nests that I got rid of were long abandoned.
There was a note. We're out of here.
Well, it was right over where I walked into my house, dude. I mean, it's just the birds were shitting all over the front stoop.
Yeah, it's also, it's bad to have birds' nests because that's actually how you can get bed bugs.
Is that true?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Birds have all kinds of little
send me the link.
That enjoy them.
Yeah, Dave, will you link us?
Everything I say is posted on Twitter now, so that was just posted on Twitter.
Dave is Twitter.
Too many vacant houses to look healthy in a business point of view. Something quite unusual this season of the year.
What Everyone the left fuck? Town. They left. They just left.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying? Everyone just took off and it's weird?
I guess. I mean, something happened that they're not telling us about.
He's saying that the vacant houses look good, but something's unusual.
Some weirdo's just walking into all these houses. That was another good one. I can see myself in here.
What happened to the people?
Yeah. This guy just killed 100 people. And he's like, well, a lot of empty cribs. Anyone else notice that? I don't know what's going on.
Ben Reynolds, a semi-idiotic youth.
Oh, that's great.
Wow.
Can we use that?
This is pretty common.
Bring that back. I don't think there's a problem with that. You're a semi-idiot.
Strong start. Yeah, yeah. It's somehow more offensive than calling someone an abortion. Is semi-idiot.
You're a half a dummy.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's hurtful.
Ben Reynolds, a semi-idiotic youth, left home about a week since, and we believe has not been heard from since. His parents need his services and are in great distress about him.
Can you imagine a missing child starting with, like, semi-idiot? Anyway, we can't find him.
But the other thing is, like, they need him for work.
Yeah,
they don't
care.
His kid's got to be around the house.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's fed the hogs in 2 days.
You lost a son? It was a semi-idiotic one. Yeah. You should see the pile of dishes. This kid's an idiot, basically.
Yeah, and we're not going to do him.
Before we start wasting our time washing things, we'd like to try to locate him for the work.
We're full idiots. We were really banking on the semi-idiot to get us out of this trouble.
He's the leader.
He was our only hope.
The golden child. The semi-idiot. He's got a full idiot brother who's sitting here doing nothing too. We need that kid back.
Yeah, well, his brother's dead. He ate his own arm, but we don't want to talk about him. We saw that coming. We're looking for the halfwit.
Okay, this is the greatest thing about this story. There's a P.S. at the end.
Oh,
P.S. at the end.
You usually don't find in newspapers. A P.S. is not something that is
no.
P.S. He has returned in a dilapidated condition. Don't know where he has been.
Wow, what the fuck? Why even put it in the paper?
Yeah. Well, that's the lead. Like, the kid went away and came back. Not, oh yeah, by the way.
Yeah, these aren't tablets.
They hadn't got, I guess they hadn't gone to print yet. And they're like, well, we don't need to take all the letters off of the press. Let's just add
the guy like laid it out. He's like, well, I had it all really nicely laid out already. It's just, aesthetically, it's going to screw me. Can we just put an addendum?
Yeah, let's just add it. That kid had been buried 3 times.
And he keeps
coming back. We can't get into it, but...
That's why he's a semi-idiot. They're like, this guy came back again? How many times are we going to bury this guy? Couldn't leave the dog. Yesterday, a poverty-stricken family consisting of a man, wife, and three children applied at the office of Mayor Moore for passage to Jackson County, Indiana. Mm. They had footed it from North Carolina. All were in tatters from head to foot. When the chief of the family walked into the office, the mud squashed between his bare toes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But this means that there's mud on the ground in the office.
Must be.
Yeah, or maybe he's tracking. I don't know. It sounds more like a muddy office for sure.
Yeah.
Wait, did I miss something? So a group of people are barefoot, full of mud, walked into an office in Jackson County, Indiana?
A family walked from North Carolina.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
and
shit.
I think...
To Indiana.
To Jackson.
Barefoot?
Yeah, they walked from North Carolina. No, they want passage to Jackson. So they must have walked to this town. They must have walked to San Marcos.
Oh.
I don't think they understand geography at all.
No.
Well, wherever they walked, it's not saying where they walked. Anyway.
But that's the story. They had muddy feet, not that, like, holy shit, no, they walked 700 miles.
Again. Yeah,
there's a lot more.
The lead. Yes. Mud-footed group ruins office. Where were they coming from? Six states away. Anyway, they were tracking it in.
So a good deal of sympathy was manifested over the hard lot of unfortunates. And Clerk DeBeck proceeded with alacrity. I don't know what that is.
Alacrity?
It must be alacrity.
I don't know what it means, but I know that's how you say it.
I don't know what alacrity. What is alacrity? I don't know what alacrity is.
I'll look it up. I'm in the A's after abortion.
That's good. You're right there. That's good. That's lucky.
Brisk and cheerful readiness.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Clerk DeBeck proceeded with alacrity to fix them out with railroad passes. Oh. Thank you, said the stranger. God bless you for your kindness, but how about the dog?
That's the tag?
Oh, a dog? No. Oh, a dog, exclaimed Mr. DeBeck. Have you a dog in the party? And then he proceeded to explain that it would be impossible to grant a pass for the dog as they wouldn't admit him aboard the train and advised that the dog be left behind.
Wow. The muddy dog.
This is the beginning. This is the beginning of a movie where they leave the dog behind and the dog follows them and five
trainers.
Yeah. The stranger called up from the midst of the waiting family a gaunt, sore-footed hound. He hesitated a while and then went over and held a consultation with his wife. And he came back to the counter and remarked, I guess we will walk. And the sorry party, including the dog.
This is the most story of all the stories by far. And it is a heart-wrenching tale.
Yeah.
It's like Homeward Bound mud.
It's Cincinnati because this is at the end. It says it's Cincinnati. So they walked from North Carolina to Cincinnati,
Jesus Christ, looking
for a train to Indiana. Okay, so I guess we walked. So the sorry party, including the dog, took its way out of the building. The incident was quite amusing. No, it's not actually. It's not even slightly amusing.
The dog was probably like, just get on the train. I'm sick of walking. They're like, we'll keep going with you, buddy.
It's just sad, mud-footed strangers walking out of town with their horrible mutt.
And then this journalist like, that's the funniest shit I've ever seen. What a hilarious little story.
Look at those
now
idiots.
They have to walk. Look at these idiots.
The incident was quite amusing, while there was something of homely tenderness in it that the faithful fellow who had followed his friend so far was not deserted in the hour of temptation.
Oh, see, wow. Look at that.
Well, that's a terrible story.
Because
they kept the dog, but like, just let him get on the fucking train. What's the big deal
with,
like,
the dog?
The trains are filthy anyway. It's not like they can just get on a shit part of the train.
I just feel like
getting in a Pullman cart.
There are people that have zero respect for dogs. It's a very sad situation. You know, the amount of dogs that, you know, people seem to just shoot and not give a fuck about, you know, at any point in history is really disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just,
no,
I think it's
nice. This is sweet.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Yeah. I thought someone was going to shoot the dog for sure. I thought the guy that was offering the plane tickets was like, let me help you out. Poof. Shoot the fucking
and all ate the dog. Happy ending.
Yeah.
Honorable A.H. Stevens lives in the National Hotel in Washington, and despite his desperate physical condition, is a cheery invalid. A Washington correspondent says he wears gloves on his hands as small as those of a 10-year-old child.
That's cute.
Cheery.
Relishes rich food, though butter and eggs are forbidden him. He takes an occasional whiff of tobacco, and when in health, has 2 ounces of whiskey or brandy for dinner. After dinner, sorry.
I was like, I like that dinner.
So I guess everyone knows who that guy is, the cheerful invalid with tiny hands.
Yeah, this must be a story.
This must be a story they've been following for a while. Guess who's back? Yeah. Look, the man with the tiny hands.
Little fists.
Yeah.
trying to thimble up his little liquid suppers. Yeah. Can you hold all that, little man?
Yeah, he was from Georgia in the Senate.
Oh, okay.
Fought in the Civil War for South.
Oh shit! So maybe he doesn't have hands at all. He just has weird stumpy things with the little gloves on him.
Yeah, he puts gloves on him.
Yeah, he puts those little holes are
gloves. No, yeah, stumps.
Mickey Mouse hands.
Here we go.
This is my stump speech.
Hey. Stevens was sickly throughout his life, most painfully from crippling rheumatic arthritis and a pinched nerve in his back.
Oh my!
I'm glad we got the jokes in before inches. That fact. That's good.
He weighed less than 100 pounds.
He what?
He weighed less than 100 pounds.
But still cheerful. I think we got to stay with
that. Tiny little man pounding liquor.
Yeah.
Here's the lie
man
on Wikipedia.
With arthritis. Huh?
Who can't eat butter? Yeah.
He can't. Oh, my God.
That said he couldn't eat butter.
He couldn't eat butter?
It'll kill me. Haven't you heard?
I might get sick. Oh, yeah. We wouldn't want that now, would we?
This is the lying part of Wikipedia. Almost all his former slaves continued to work for him. Awful for little or no money.
You know how it works, it just turned into an internship. There's that.
I love being a slave.
Yeah.
What, the slaves are the guy with the gnarled little hands?
Yes. Yeah.
They were like, we love what we've got over here with this tiny little balloon man.
Yeah, because he can't defend himself. We got the run of the place.
We buried him. We just weekend to birdie him once a week when a family member comes around to check.
Senator Blaine's daughter Alice, aged 18, while playfully handling a loaded revolver a few days ago, was accidentally shot, the ball striking between her eyes and passing upward. The wound was not considered fatal, but came very close to being so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she got shot between the eyes. She shot herself
between the eyes.
Yeah, and she's okay.
It doesn't say that. It just says she didn't die.
I think
yeah, okay. There's a lot of space in there.
I'm banking on she's not okay.
Dave revealed he believes she's never better. You know, she's got that ball in the brain. She's doing great.
Doesn't talk much.
Says a lot of weird stuff. Oh, yeah, doesn't talk too much. A lot of song. A lot of song. A lot of sort of guttural songs.
How are you doing, honey?
Yeah.
She's doing great.
Yeah.
Married women in Illinois hold their own property separately and engage independently in any vocation they please.
Wow. It made the paper.
The nerve.
It made the paper.
The nerve. I like the tone of that. How could this be happening?
How fucked up is the North?
Yeah.
That's really crazy. Wesley Geyer, a suspected horse thief and bad man generally. I love that they just...
I like the order. No,
it's a bad person. This is a bad person.
I like that.
We need more of that now.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Was warned by his neighbors at Greenville, Dark County, Ohio, to leave the town. In failing to do so, he was called from his house on the night of the 24th by a party of masked men and riddled with bullets.
Oh, well, that's how they got him out? That's interesting.
When everyone tells you to leave town, it's probably a time when you leave town. Like, this is now 1877. Yeah. You leave town.
You know what's coming.
With the calico masks and guns. Yeah.
You know what's coming, stupid.
Even though he's riddled with bullets, Dr. Dave Anthony declared him to be, quote, never better.
Let's say he lives, so he's fine.
He's doing great. He can't drink water without being a cartoon, but other than that, he's fantastic.
He had been living there for 20 years and was a property owner and had a wife and 7 children.
Really?
Yeah, that's sad.
But they fucking hated him.
Everybody hated him. He must have been a bad asshole. He must have been quite... For the town to go, I think we got to kill Jeff.
Yeah,
like, you're a bad guy.
I wonder if his wife and kids got in on the action. Finally. Give me a gun.
They were in the mask.
Shooting him from behind.
Yeah, it was his family in the mask. Exactly.
Who are these people? Why they wore the mask. You got 7 tiny ones there. What are they doing? Who are you, little men? What are you, senators? Did you say dad?
No. No, Papa, I didn't. A man whose manner did not indicate insanity ordered a steak in a Sacramento restaurant.
That happens
this
all
is
the
so
time.
So far, a non-story. Yeah, exactly. It's
so far.
A non-insane man had a steak.
That's the whole story. He deliberately cut off a piece of the meat 4 inches by 2 in size and tried to swallow it whole. It stuck in his throat and choked him to death.
Jesus Christ.
That's the story.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know that he didn't have mental problems. You know, it was good that he went. He did that in earnest. Like, I can.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get this down.
He was like, look, I got an idea. I think this is going to work. I think I'm going to hack chewing. There's going to be a way to get around that, the awful process of chewing. We got to be able to do this.
Those are also great last words. This is going to work.
Yeah. Turn it on.
Yeah. hey, watch me snake this down. John? Are you sure? When do we step in?
That's a big piece of meat. You would think somebody could have just reached in his fucking mouth and pulled it out. just watched a guy choke to death.
Yeah. Yeah, they all just stood around like, wow, he's dying from that, huh?
Yeah.
No, because they were trying it. He was like, I got this.
Don't ruin my dream.
Well, he made the paper.
They clearly got it out and measured it. It was pretty precise. Like, look at this asshole.
Yeah.
Get the ruler. 4x2. No one can do 4x2.
What a lunatic. This man is not insane.
He's just trying to do something one had ever done before.
He's ambitious with beef.
Yes.
This is America. We reward dreamers.
It is said in an article in Harper's Monthly by a writer who has lived for 10 years in Alaska that the land there is worthless and the seal fisheries likely soon to be exhausted. There are, according to this authority, only 100 white persons in the country.
Wow.
So that's their version of a nightmare.
Right.
Not enough white people and no more seals. There was the seal industry. Is that what they're already talking about? That
seal fisheries. So that's what they must mean.
These fucking people on these coasts were just killing whales and seals by the hundreds.
Oh my God. It's like, it's unbelievable how many, like, it's just the other thing was beavers. It was like a beaver holocaust.
Oh my God. I know.
Like
crazy.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you're like, we need more white people. You know what's crazy about this situation? All the beaver murder? Not enough whites.
Yeah. Are there still beavers? Lonely. Are there still beavers?
Yeah, they're actually
still beavers.
They keep trying to reintroduce into places because it turns out they're really, really good for land and how everything works. If you can imagine an animal.
And they just used them for oil, I think, in the fur, right? Or the fur. It was the fur, and then the Chinese used the oil. I only know this because I just watched a Kelly Reichardt movie, that first cow, and they were talking about the beaver industry.
Oh.
Okay. Dave did a episode of The Dollop about penguin oil that just is a scarring
a million scarring tale. Like, you can't even believe what they, like, it's just insane.
Just like, yeah. Like,
just mind-boggling.
It's so fucking awful.
Yeah.
All right, let's pick it up. Let's turn it around.
Oh, we fix it all. Everything's going good now.
All right. Hey, guys, we just got the ratings. We're dipping. We're dipping again. Come on. Come on.
It's getting sad.
It's getting a little dark over here, boys.
Let's make fun of some 1800s pain.
Hey, you got any more small-handed weirdos, Dave? Come on. Anyone try to eat a burger without biting? Let's move.
An ingenious use of carrier pigeons is on record. They were employed in Belgium to smuggle tobacco into France. Each bird carried from 10 to 15 grams of the weed, and 2 dozen pigeons per day were regularly dispatched.
Wow.
How long the new industry had been established is not stated, but one day it came to grief. A bird was too heavily loaded, and he dropped with his burden, exhausted, into the scene.
Oh, my God.
A police inquiry resulted, and the whole business was exposed.
Wow.
Wow.
Early drug mules were pigeons in France.
Sky mules.
Yeah.
And the one they got, they were like, look, they could take a lot of fucking tobacco. And then the one was like, Jesus Christ, I can't. And they were like, the jig's up, Marty. Yeah.
They found the fat bird. We got to close up shop.
A bird drops into a river and that just blows the whole thing. Like, people are like, what's with that bird in the river?
Or at first they just were like, this bird loves tobacco. Wait.
What's amazing is how, like, sought after tobacco was at some time.
Yeah.
Like, it's like spices. Yeah, right. When you hear these, like, wars about spices, it's like, how important is vanilla? Yeah. You know? And it's pretty important.
Yeah.
It's pretty important. Enough to kill an island full of people. Yeah.
That happened, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. It was just about getting the spices. And
it's
a lot of it was about preserving some of the spices, preserved food. So.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So last one, last story.
Okay. All right.
While breaking an egg the other day, Miss John Kinney of Alden, Iowa, found within the shell a living snake about 4 inches long.
Whoa.
Which lived several days until Miss Kinney threw the little varmint into the fire. What?
Is that it?
It was colorless, like the white of the egg from which it came.
An albino snake was in an egg.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she hung around for four days.
Yeah.
And then threw it in the fire.
Several days.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's probably
That's
a worm.
The story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking that.
A worm.
Well, you know, I mean, how's it getting to shell? Must have eaten the.
I think it had to have been a snake egg, right?
Oh,
right.
Maybe? Like a snake egg got in with the other egg somehow?
This is like one of those weird story problems. Like, we all assumed that it was a chicken egg, and it wasn't.
But they're like, I can't operate on this
snake egg.
Child, I'm his parent.
Yeah, it's a snake egg. That's it, Dave. You figured it out. What do you win?
Dave, wait until you
know. Huh? You don't really get anything.
Dave, take the win. Shut the fuck up. You answered it. Shut up.
Yeah, well, that's one of those dumb stories where you, like, when you're a kid, they're like, so how did the snake get in the egg?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you're like, I believe that the snake was after the yolk, and then it fell in. Yeah.
Yeah, right. No,
it was a snake's egg. Oh, son of a bitch.
God damn it. Of course it was.
Snakes lay eggs?
Yeah.
By the way, if you put in white snake into... and to Google it, the band White Snake comes up. So that's.
I was
going to
say. I don't think this story is going to be the first thing. I think it's going to be Tawny Katane or something like that.
Yeah, albino snakes. Okay, there's an albino snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when she threw it into the fire, the snake said, "Here I go again on my own." well, thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
Sure, man.
Appreciate it so much. The special from Dark.
It's nice. It's nice to make fun of dead people.
Yeah, it's nice to, like, read old news and be like, what a bunch of shitheads. And then and then Dave will send you a bunch of links in 5 minutes and you'll be like, God damn it.
Oh, no.
But thank you so much. And like you said, obviously you have an amazing podcast, WTF, and your special HBO Max From Bleak to Dark, which is dynamite, like we said earlier. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Some of these days you'll miss me, honey. Some of these days.
Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gare Force, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th. Then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th. Canada, I've heard your prayers, and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gare Force. We're calling you up. It's the big time. The big leagues. This went poorly.